Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here again to plunge into some fascinating topics and really pull out the key insights from our sources.
That's right.
Today, we're tackling something pretty profound.
Yeah.
What does it genuinely mean to live, you know, without compromise?
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking at this through a specific lens, something our source calls spiritual cleansing.
Okay, spiritual cleansing. Sounds intense.
It can sound a bit intense, yeah, or maybe abstract. But as we saw in the material, it's really about purifying your intentions, your actions.
Aligning them.
Exactly. Aligning them with a deeper sense of moral integrity, whatever that higher standard might be for you.
Got it.
Now, our main source for this deep dive comes from excerpts of a podcast called Faith Beams GP Podcast.
Okay.
Specifically, an episode that really dug into Psalm 119, verse 3. It states, "They do no wrong, but follow his ways."
Do no wrong. That's a high bar.
It really is.
Yeah.
So the central questions for us and for you listening are, well, first, is living by high ethical standards, truly without compromise, even possible today?
In our modern world.
Yeah. And is it practical?
Mm-hmm.
Especially when we're surrounded by what the source itself calls moral gray areas.
It's interesting, you know, how relevant this feels right now. This isn't just for one specific group.
No, definitely not.
I mean, it speaks to anyone navigating temptation, maybe families, young people facing peer pressure.
Sure.
It really feels like it's for, well, global listeners seeking some kind of moral clarity. It doesn't matter if you're in Africa, South Asia, the Caribbean, Europe, South America.
Mm-hmm.
And our sources also highlighted something quite specific. It's relevance for people maybe grappling with deep loss.
Yeah, that was striking.
You know, maybe from natural disasters like tsunamis or forest fires or even like the loss of public figures, times when people start really questioning morality, purpose, maybe God's path.
Right. A time for reevaluation.
Yeah.
So with that kind of broad relevance in mind, let's dive into the core ideas.
Okay.
The source starts quite powerfully, I thought, by defining compromise very specifically. It says it's surrendering part of God's truth to meet cultural norms.
Surrendering truth for norms. Okay.
Yep.
What comes to mind when you hear that? Is it always about big, obvious choices or smaller things too?
That's a really good question. I think it's both.
Yeah.
Absolutely both.
Yeah.
Because the source uses this biblical example, Daniel in Babylon.
Ah, right. The lion's den story, or close.
Well, this part was about standing firm despite, you know, fiery threats. He wouldn't bend his principles even when his life was literally on the line.
So that's the sort of unwavering commitment we're talking about, not just bending to whatever everyone else is doing.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
But it's not just ancient history either. The source had this really compelling modern story.
Oh, yeah.
About a teacher in Chile. She refused to basically doctor school results.
Falsify records. Wow.
Yeah. Even to save her job.
Yeah.
But here's the kicker. She was later promoted by a private institution.
Okay, so a positive outcome there? That's encouraging.
It is. But, you know, does the source talk about times when doing the right thing, having integrity, doesn't lead to an immediate reward like that?
That's a really crucial point, because it doesn't always work out with a neat bow like that, does it?
No.
And while that story is great, the underlying idea seems to be that the choice itself, the integrity, holds value, regardless of the immediate payoff.
Right, the internal alignment.
Exactly. And this ties into another scripture mentioned, Romans 12.2. Basically, don't just copy the world around you.
Not conform.
Right, to the pattern of this world. Forge your own path based on deeper principles. It's about building that inner resilience, you know?
Mm-hmm. And connecting back to those grieving, the source had an interesting take.
How so?
It mentioned people dealing with huge losses like those fires in Canada, tsunamis in Indonesia.
Yeah, terrible events.
And it suggested this idea of cleansing the soul through surrender, not sorrow.
Surrender, not sorrow.
I took it as like channeling that pain into standing firm in your values rather than just being overwhelmed by the grief itself, a kind of active response.
Hmm. Transforming the pain. Okay. So let's shift to that phrase, do no wrong, from Psalm 119.3. What's the deeper meaning there?
Yeah, because on the surface, it sounds impossible.
Right. Perfect. All the time. But the source points out the Hebrew root for wrong is more nuanced.
Okay.
It implies habitual sin, like a pattern of wrongdoing versus, you know, an occasional mistake or failure.
Ah, okay. That makes a huge difference. It's not about being literally flawless.
Exactly. It's about the overall direction, the trajectory of your life. Are you generally choosing what's right?
That reframes it completely. And this connects to another concept from our deep dive, grace and growth.
Right, using 1 John 3.69.
Which suggests that if you're deeply connected to your core principles, the source calls it abiding in Christ, you can actually break free from those persistent negative patterns.
So for someone listening who maybe isn't familiar with that specific language, abiding in Christ, what does that look like practically, day to day?
Good question.
I think practically it means living from a place of like deep inner conviction. Mm. Your moral compass is set. It's internal.
Guided by something higher.
Right. Guided by a higher purpose or truth. You're rooted in those principles, so they naturally shape your choices. It makes it easier, maybe, to resist those habits that go against your values.
It's a process, though.
Oh, absolutely. An ongoing process. Definitely not instant perfection.
And we see this play out. The sources shared another case study. A Nigerian journalist.
Okay.
Declined bribes. Refused to suppress the truth.
Wow. That takes courage, especially in journalism sometimes.
Totally. And the result, he later won a UN Integrity Award.
See? Real-world impact. It's not just abstract theory.
Not at all. And the source also gave some really practical, like, reflection points.
Yeah, I like those.
There was a journaling prompt, where am I tempted most? Simple, but direct.
Mm-hmm. Forces you to be honest.
And one for kids, which I thought was sweet. Would Jesus smile at your choices today?
Yeah, puts it in clear terms.
Plus, this devotional thought, God doesn't expect perfection, but he blesses progress.
Yes. That distinction again, progress, not perfection. It's about valuing those consistent steps, even small ones.
Each choice builds on the last.
Right. That consistent effort is what builds character over time.
Okay, so this idea of living without compromise, it could feel a bit, I don't know, abstract or maybe even lonely, but the source brought in these incredible global stories.
Yeah. Those testimonies were powerful. They really grounded the whole discussion.
Which one really stuck with you?
They were all moving, but I think the story from India, the widow in Mumbai.
Oh, yes.
Choosing to forgive the drunk driver who killed her son. I mean, the strength that takes.
Unimaginable.
And how that act apparently had this ripple effect impacting her local church's outreach. It's just profound.
It really is. And then you have like the youth group in Trinidad and Tobago.
The Walk Clean Initiative.
Yeah. Helping teens in tough neighborhoods make better choices. Oh. Very practical boots on the ground stuff.
Definitely.
And the Christian restaurateur in Greece giving free meals to refugees, even facing persecution for it.
And saying, I'm feeding them for Christ. Just matter of fact, courage.
Yeah. These stories, they seem to connect to that idea in Psalm 1, don't they? Blessed is the one who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly.
Absolutely. They embody choosing a different path, standing apart from the easy or expected way, no matter where you are in the world.
It's amazing seeing that diversity, isn't it? Different cultures, different situations, but the same core principle of courage.
It really shows this isn't tied to one specific cultural expression. It's universal.
So how do these stories, which are often rooted in specific faith contexts, offer insights for, well, anyone trying to live ethically?
That's a great point, because at their heart, these are stories about choosing integrity, compassion, courage, principles most people value, right? Whether you frame it as following a divine path or just your own deepest moral compass, the struggle and the triumph are relatable. It's about choosing the harder right over the easier wrong.
So what drives these choices? What's the engine behind it? The deep dive brings up this idea that obedience is an act of spiritual cleansing.
Referencing John 15.3.
Yeah. It's not just rule following. It's like the act of choosing right actually purifies you somehow.
That's a deep thought. And it expands on it, saying how the small decisions,
like not lying, not gossiping,
right, not cheating, those everyday things, they actually build up your spiritual integrity.
It's the accumulation,
yeah.
Not just one big heroic act.
Exactly. It's the daily practice.
And another case study reinforced this from South Africa this time.
Okay.
A university student got expelled for refusing to plagiarize.
Oof. That's a heavy consequence.
Huge consequence. But later received a scholarship to study abroad.
Wow. Again, that delayed, unexpected, positive outcome.
Yeah. It really makes you think about the unseen ripples of sticking to your principles, even when it hurts initially.
It really does. It shows how that integrity, even if costly short term, can create opportunities you never expected, building that foundation, like you said, brick by brick.
Mm-hmm. And again, the source offers prompts for personal reflection, for you listening.
Like the prayer prompt.
Yeah. Lord, cleanse my heart where I've been lukewarm or fearful to obey you fully. Getting honest about those internal barriers.
And the journaling one. When have I stood for right and felt God's peace? Connecting principled action to inner well-being.
It really hammers home that these consistent, maybe small acts, contribute massively to, well, a clean conscience, a clearer path forward.
Definitely. That internal alignment, finding peace through integrity.
And finally, the source circled back to a specific group, those who are grieving.
Yeah, it addressed them very directly.
It said, "You may feel surrounded by loss, from tsunamis to celebrity deaths, but your integrity is your compass."
That's powerful. In times of chaos or deep sadness, having that internal guide
must be invaluable.
Absolutely. And the scriptural comfort offered was Psalm 34.18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted.
A reminder of presence, even in pain.
Yeah, suggesting that holding on to your integrity even then can itself be a source of solace, a stable point.
And there's that mini devotion. Obedience becomes a balm when words fail.
Like when you don't know what to say or thing, maybe just doing the next right thing can bring some comfort.
Action is solace. And there was one more reflection aimed at kids and teens.
What does it look like to obey God when no one is watching?
Yeah. Getting them thinking early about internal motivation, not just external appearances. That's where real integrity starts, isn't it?
It really is. Cultivating that inner conviction from a young age.
So ultimately, all these threads weave together, pointing to integrity as this like essential guide, especially through hard times, loss, confusion.
Or internal compass.
Exactly. So if we boil it all down, what are the key takeaways from this deep dive?
Okay, let's recap.
First, I think, is that this idea of spiritual cleansing or just inner purity, it starts with honest obedience, consistent action.
Right. Not just wishing it, but doing it. Daily choices matter most.
Second, the idea that doing no wrong in that nuanced sense of habitual right living is actually possible.
But not through your own strength alone. The source emphasizes drawing on a higher power, what it calls Christ's strength.
Third, every culture, every situation throws up moral tests. The call is to seek God's way, or your highest principle, over society's shortcut.
Don't just default to the cultural norm. And fourth, that big one, progress over perfection.
Yes. Each right choice is spiritual resistance. It builds strength, even if you're not flawless.
And finer.
Those global testimonies, they weren't just inspiring stories. They felt like proof that living this way, without compromise, genuinely blesses people, maybe even for generations.
Yeah, it has that ripple effect. Which leads to maybe a final thought for you listening. Given everything we've discussed, how small acts build integrity, how they can bless others, maybe even people you'll never meet, what would it look like for you to make just one uncompromising choice today? Maybe something small, something no one else would even notice.
And consider.
Yeah, consider how that single choice might ripple outwards, beyond what you can immediately see. What could that look like?
That's definitely something to chew on, a powerful thought to leave with. We hope this deep dive gave you plenty to reflect on about integrity, compromise, and navigating the complexities of life.